Well, morning everyone. It's pretty cool to be back together. It's pretty cool to be outside, or hot to be outside. Yeah, I've definitely been like burning those new bald patches at the back of my head from hopefully my last lockdown haircut. I'll just give you a little twirl so you can examine. It was meant to be a Nike tick, but when you're doing it by yourself with no mirror, that's what you get. Right, well, this morning, I just wanted to think about something which will sound simple, but I think a lot of what we do in church is reminding ourselves of the simple but wonderful truths of who our God is. And so what I want to ask this morning is, who is God? How would you describe him? If you've been a Christian for a while, which of the many names in the Bible would you choose to describe God? What name would you call him? I remember having a conversation with a friend once who was convinced that God's name was Harold. And I was like, what are you on? But he said, well, when we were back in school assemblies, we always had to say the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer went like this: Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be thy name. So I quickly put him straight on that one. But if we go to the Lord's Prayer, of course, begins with those words, Our Father. And so what I want us to focus on this morning is this idea that God invites us to call him Father. Now, even as I say that word, the word Father, I'm aware that it's a loaded word, that we will each come to that word with different experiences, different backgrounds. I'm sure we've all had that experience, right, of flicking through photos, whether it's flicking through a photo album or these days scrolling through your Facebook timeline. And when you see certain faces, it brings a feeling to mind, doesn't it? Or it brings a memory to mind. You might see an old friend, and as you see that photo, you might smile because you remember a good memory. You might see a teacher or a boss or something, and you might sort of subconsciously sit up straighter in your seat because you're worried the photo is going to tell you off. What comes to mind when you see that photo of your father? I appreciate that amongst us there'll be some of us who'll smile with warm memories, some of us that will be tinged with sadness because our father's no longer with us. Others of us, even to think of your father will make you feel sick or angry because of the way he treated you. Maybe others of you might feel just numb because your father never really played much of a part in your life. Each of us would react differently to a picture of our father, but there's three things that are true for each of us this morning as well. One, all of us have a human father. Two, that human father was not perfect. But three, God offers to be a perfect heavenly father to us. God offers to be a perfect heavenly father to us. God is the perfect father, the Bible says. And I guess I want us to put together a picture of what God as a perfect father looks like this morning. And I hope that it's a picture that will put a smile on your face, that will bring a sense of warmth and joy and hope to your heart. A picture of God as father that will amaze you again. Because God is the perfect father. So why is he perfect? We're just going to pick a few verses out of Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7, which are part of the Sermon on the Mount. So three verses and 3 points. The first is this: God is a perfect father because he's a caring father. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 just has this little gem in it. It says, your father knows what you need before you ask him. Your father knows what you need before you ask him. Now let me tell you a story about a girl called Stacy. Stacy's father kept racing pigeons. And every morning before school, Stacy would head eagerly down to the bottom of the garden where the shed was to help him feed the pigeons. And she'd watch as he mixed their food, handful of corn, handful of seed, handful of rice, good for the speed. That's what he'd say every morning. And she would ask, please, can I feed the pigeons this morning? But each time he'd say, when you're older. How many times have you heard that, kids? And as he filled up the pigeons' water pots and carried on doing the things that you do with pigeons, her mum would call through from the kitchen and she'd say, what do you want in your sandwiches today? And she'd reply, just the usual, ham sandwiches, please. Now, one weekend, there was a pigeon racing competition, and she begged her dad to take her along as well, but he waved her off, when you're older. But the problem was, her mum was working a shift that day, so she couldn't look after Stacy. So in the end, dad had to take Stacy along with her. And it was a long drive, and then they had to wait for all the pigeon teams to be registered. These things are real, you know. And Stacy asked again, please, can I feed the pigeons, Dad? When you're older, when you're older. Now, Stacy's dad was getting peckish, and there was a snack van on the other side of the field. So he said, I'm going to go and get myself a cuppa. Can I get you anything while I'm there? He asked. Well, she looked a little bit cross because she was still miffed that she couldn't feed the pigeons. Just the usual for me, she said. Stacy's dad was halfway across the field when he began to puzzle. What is the usual? He was stood in the queue, racking his brains, trying to remember what the usual was for Stacy. And in the end, he got to the front of the queue and he just said, I'll have a cup of tea and a cheese sandwich, please. As he got closer to the van again, he saw Stacy with the back doors open. What are you doing, Stacy? She said, handful of corn, handful of seed, handful of rice, good for the speed. I thought I told you. And then she interrupted him. Did you get my ham sandwich? He stopped and he looked down at the cheese sandwich. He was embarrassed. And Stacy spoke quietly. You know more about what your pigeons like than what I like. How many of us have had dads whose minds were elsewhere? Maybe some of us have been dads whose minds were elsewhere. He was busy with his job, he was busy with his hobbies, he was busy with his friends. His attention was divided. And maybe he didn't really know what you needed, and as a result you felt like he didn't care about you. Or maybe just dad was busy and you wanted to spend more time with him, but he had things that he had to be doing. God's not like that. God's looking after every pigeon or every sparrow that flies through the air, Jesus tells us. Every blade of grass in the field, God's looking after. Every hair on your head, God knows about and cares about. And yet, even with all that multitasking to do, he's not busy and he's not distracted. He can handle all of it. He's a perfect father. He knows what you need even before you ask him. He's interested in you. He knows you. He understands you. He gets where you're coming from. He's a caring father. That's the first thing. Second thing, he's a generous father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I don't know if you were ever part of those boasts in the school playground, you know, the boasts that tended to go like this. Oh, my dad's got a new Mondeo. Oh, well, my dad's got a Porsche. Oh, well, my dad's got a Ferrari. Oh, well, my dad's got a Ferrari with a machine in it that makes Porsches. You know, they just go on and then liar, liar, your pants on fire. Well, my dad's got pants that don't catch fire. You know how it goes, right? You were part of those increasingly complicated arguments, right? Well, I remember one kid at school just boasting about all the stuff that his dad had bought for him. Last week, my dad just bought me a Sega Mega Drive. Anyone remember those? Sega Mega Drives. Next week it was, last week my dad bought me a massive Scalextric set. Proper Scalextrics, the full size one, not the little ones with the magnets that help you cheat. The real Scalextrics. Whoa. The next week, last week, my dad bought me a remote controlled monster truck. And not just one of those battery ones, but a proper petrol driven remote controlled monster truck. And of course we were all like wowed. But it wasn't till I went to his house one day, funnily enough it was to actually buy his Scalextrics off him secondhand. It wasn't till I went round to his house one day that I actually realized that his parents had separated and he was living with his mum during the week. And his dad would visit at weekends, and of course he'd bring these presents. And suddenly it made me see all those presents in a totally different way. God is the perfect Father. He knows what we need, right? That's one thing. We've just said that he's caring. But if he didn't lift a finger to give us what we truly need, then we'd be stuck. As that verse says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now that might sound like a winning lottery ticket if it's true, right? Does that verse basically mean that we can ask God for anything and he's just going to give us all those good things? Does that mean I can ask for a Sega Mega Drive or a Scale Electrics or a monster truck, even a petrol powered monster truck if I want? Well, God's a perfect Father, and that means he knows what you really need and he'll give you good things. But what is the greatest thing that he can give you? It's interesting, if you jump to Luke's gospel, it's got that same verse, but with slightly different words. In Luke's gospel, Luke 11:13, it says this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit. The greatest thing that God can give you is not presence, it's his presence. Him being with you, his Holy Spirit living in you. And as I think back to that poor kid at school who had all the gear and all the toys, I can't help but think that his playground boasting was just covering up the pain that he felt from being distant from his dad. He was less interested in all those toys, he just wanted his dad. What use is it to have all the good stuff in the world if we don't even know the God who knows us and loves us? He is willing to give us good things, but he's willing to give us himself, and that's the best thing. He's a generous Father. And then there's one more thing I want us to learn this morning. God's a caring Father, he's a generous Father, but finally, God is a forgiving Father. I don't know about you, but I always find when I see something of how good and kind and caring and generous God is, I can't help but feel a little guilty myself. Partly if we're thinking of him as a father, because I think, well, have I been that kind of father? And maybe I feel guilt about that. But also because I realize that through my life, God's been reaching out to me again and again in so many ways. He's shown his kindness to me again and again. But so often, I'm the one who's been distant or busy or harsh or bored with him. I'm the one causing the distance. Well, there was another son who felt like that, and his name was Arun, and he lived in a country called Cambodia with his father. They lived in a really small house. It was part of the slums. It was right next to the train track. And Arun was fascinated by the trains. During the night, the thundering of the heavy freight trains would actually help him to sleep, because it was comfortable. It was part of what he was used to. But then during the day, he would watch the passenger trains as they passed, full of people, crowded with people, wondering who was on board, wondering where all these people were going. And Arun began to wish that maybe one day he could catch a train as well, and he could travel and see the world beyond the slums. Well, meanwhile, his father worked really hard as a fisherman. He didn't make much money, but he did make enough to feed them both, and just enough to save a little every week. And so eventually, on his 16th birthday, Arun's father came to speak to him, and he handed him a bag of money, and he said, look, this is all the money that I've saved over all these years, and I want you to have it. I want you to go to the university in the city, and I want you to make something good of your life. Take this opportunity that I never had. So Arun took that bag of money and he caught the train to the city, and he was amazed at all the things he saw. But you know, instead of going to the university, he actually ended up making some wild friends who would invite him to parties that were going on in the clubs and the bars across the city. Now, from time to time, his father would write to him. And you know, sometimes he'd send a brief message back, usually saying how busy he was with studying, making up these stories about what he was getting up to at university. And you know, he was having such a great time, but he kept telling himself, I've still got plenty of money left for university, still got plenty of money left for university. Until one day, he ended up drinking too much, and he actually ended up crashing one of his friend's cars. And as a result, he was taken to court, and he had to use the rest of his money to pay for the damage. And of course, with his case being in court, his photo ended up in the papers, and he knew as he saw the front page of the newspaper or whatever page he was on, that his father would see it, and those lies would be discovered. So there he was, no money, no friends. By this point, he was sleeping rough. He was actually sleeping near the same train station that he'd arrived at all those months before. And he decided to save what he could beg on the streets and to catch a train a week later and to start somewhere new, give it another go, get a fresh start. But he thought, I'll write to my dad. I'll write to my dad one last time just to see if he's willing to see me again. So he wrote a letter. He explained what a mess he'd made. He admitted what he'd done with the money. And he said he was sorry. And he wrote, Father, next Thursday I'll be catching a train which will pass by the house. If you want to see me, hang a white ribbon from the window and I'll get out at the station. If not, I'll stay on the train. I'll keep going and I'll never bother you again, I promise. Well, the next Thursday came and he caught the train as planned. And all through the journey, he was nervous. He was wondering whether his father would have hung that white ribbon from the window. In fact, he was so nervous that he asked the man opposite if he would keep a lookout for him. Tell me if there's a white ribbon hanging in that window. And the man looked out the window as the train passed the house. And Arun held his breath. Is there a white ribbon in the window? Is there a white ribbon in the window? No, the man replied. Arun looked down sadly. No, the other passenger continued. There's not just one white ribbon. There's hundreds of white ribbons on the window, the wall, the roof. What does it mean? And Arun jumped to his feet, tears streaming down his cheeks. It means my father wants to see me, he shouted. Matthew 6 verse 14 says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. God is perfectly caring. He's perfectly generous, but he's also perfectly forgiving. You know, if God had a house that we could visit, it would be decorated in those white ribbons of forgiveness. The doormat would say, welcome, you are forgiven. The air itself would smell of forgiveness, if that's even possible. It's what God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been working for since the beginning of time, creating a means for you and me to be brought back, to be forgiven, to enter the family, to be cared for, to be part of His perfect family. And so this morning, if you're feeling any sense of shame or guilt or distance because of something you've done or because of something you haven't done, now please don't stay there. Don't stay in that place. If you're feeling wary of embracing this idea of God as Father because your human father was a bit of a piece of work, well, please don't stay in that place. If you're holding resentment, if there's someone you're refusing to forgive, whether it's your father or whether it's someone else, please don't stay in that place, because there is care, generosity, forgiveness with our perfect Father God. That's what we sung about earlier. Jesus's work on the cross was to achieve forgiveness for us. Jesus's resurrection from the dead gives us hope that there is forgiveness for us. And I know that for most of us here, this will be familiar teaching for you, but I don't apologize for giving it to you again, because even as Christians, right, we so often feel a sense of distance. It's a distance that we cause, a sense of distance from our Father God, because we feel like somehow we can't approach Him, that we have to make things right or put in a few days of doing a better job reading our Bibles or praying or whatever it is. And I want to encourage you now, as we come out of these crazy 18 months of lockdown, I want to encourage you to approach your perfect Heavenly Father with full confidence that He will accept you. Full confidence that because of what Jesus has done, His arms are there waiting to welcome you. Care, generosity, forgiveness with our perfect Father God. And like a child who just runs to greet their dad when he gets in from work, all you have to do is come to Him. You don't have to gather up armfuls of stuff to prove your worth. You just have to come to Him as you are. Come to Him with that humble, thankful, grateful heart. Praise God. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him that He is a perfect Heavenly Father. Let's just pray, and then I think that's us done, right? We've done all our songs, so we'll pray. Feel free to socialise, and if you brought food, drink, tea, whatever, you can stick around as well. But let's just pray. Father God, thank You so much that You are, as You encourage us to call You, a Father. You're our Father, and You're not just a half-hearted, inconsistent Father. You are a perfect Father. Thank You for Your care of us, even when we're not aware of it, even when we take it for granted. Thank You for Your generosity in giving us everything we need and in being willing to make Yourself available to us, to approach You, to belong to You. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your forgiveness, that You have gone to incredible lengths, unbelievable lengths, to make it possible for us to be forgiven and for us to come back to You. Thank You for Jesus and His death and resurrection. Thank You that He's gone before us as our older brother, the perfect Son whom You love. And yet, as You look at each of us who has our faith in Jesus, You also see us as those sons and those daughters whom You love, with whom You are well pleased. Thank You for that, Lord. That just blows our minds. You're an amazing Father, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.